Well, good morning. I will press the record button as well because last week I forgot both. Good morning. At the back there, I didn't see you sneak in. Well, I trust that yesterday was a peaceful day for most of us, that we had time to spend with friends. I had a couple of, questionable people around for dinner, should I say, but I managed to get through it. Didn't we, Jeanette? When I was thinking about the message for the Christmas Day or the Christmas Sunday, many of you will know that I don't tend to stick to tradition in the sense that, it's Christmas, we celebrate as Christians the birth of Christ, so we bring a story around a baby in a manger. Well, as I was doing my daily reading about a week or so ago, this portion of scripture jumped out at me, and I want to read it to you, and I hope you get what it is I'm trying to say, and I hope you're blessed by it, because it has nothing to do with Christ in the crib. It has nothing to do with the shepherds or the star, but it has everything to do with the gift that God gave us, which is the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, it's in John 4, and I'm going to start from verse 1, and I'm going to read as much of it as I can, so bear with me as I work my way through this portion of scripture. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who was baptizing, but his disciples. There's a lot we can say about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to read it through. I'm going to read a bit slower now because Julian's about to walk in, so I don't want him to miss too much of this. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So we left Judah and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Good morning, sir. Good morning. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Now, I just want to pause slightly there, because when I read something, I like to look at it, even though I'm only going to bring just a small part of something. I like to read around it so that I know what the scripture is saying in the context and everything else. And when I've read other scriptures about shepherds and people coming to water their flocks and to draw water, it wasn't at noon, because noon was the hottest time of the day. It was normally in the morning or later on in the evening, but here we have a Samaritan woman coming at the hottest part of the day, and scripture doesn't tell us this, but I'm only going to surmise that because of what Jesus revealed about her, maybe, just maybe, she wanted to come on her own when no one else was around and just simply get water for herself and her family, with no one else to bother her. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." In fact, they hated each other. It's not just a case of association. They would go round Samaria rather than go through Samaria. Here we have Jesus going through. Not only is he going through, but he's sitting at a well. Not only is he sitting at a well, he's asking a Samaritan woman for a drink. Those are things that were not heard of. And if we're not careful, we miss those things. It wasn't just the fact that Jesus was thirsty and he couldn't be bothered to draw water for himself. There was a point to this story. And as I started to read it and try and connect it to Christmas, how can I bring a message out of the Samaritan woman by the well? Well, let's see. Jesus answered her, You knew the gift of God. If you knew the gift of God, and there we have it. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. So straight away, this word jumped out at me, gift of God. If you knew the gift of God, there's lots of people that don't know the gift of God, isn't there? Now, because we have this recorded, we can hope at some point someone will switch on, even if it's by accident. And they will listen and they will hear that there is a gift that God has, not just for his people, but for all people who chooses to accept it. And here we have this Samaritan woman. So the connection here is Jews and Samaritans did not mix. So we had enemies coming together. And yet Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who she didn't know, she wasn't aware of, was placing before her this opportunity to receive a gift. Sir, the woman said in verse 11, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? She's thinking in a natural sense. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. That's the natural water. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and I won't have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. She was still thinking in a worldly sense. She was thinking, ah, well, if there's a water I can have that I can drink that I'll never thirst again, then give it to me so I won't have to keep coming here and labouring as I do day after day drawing water. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, but we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Verse 23, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. And if you look at this story, you'll see that this woman came not in spirit and truth. She came in the flesh, didn't she? But God's looking for people that will receive the revelation, the gift that God has prepared since the beginning of creation, beginning of time, prepared for us to receive the gift of Christ. And yet she has come in the natural, and God's looking for those that will come in the supernatural. And that's us. And those that don't know who Jesus is, don't know this gift, that's what we are proclaiming throughout the end of this year and all of next year until the Lord comes back again, isn't it? That there's a gift that God wants people to receive. And that's not the turkey and the tinsel, as marvellous as that is. It's the gift of life, and life in all its fullness. So this picture shows me that Jesus is talking to a Samaritan. He's talking to an enemy. Not only is he talking to a Samaritan, he's talking to a woman. And in that culture, it was looked down upon for a man to discuss these things with a woman. Not only was she the enemy, not only was she female, but she had lived a questionable lifestyle, I suggest. Five husbands, and the man she's with now, she's not married to. Culturally, it was not heard of. It was kept in the dark. People didn't want to associate with those that they would call people of disrepute. And they use stronger terms than that, but I don't need to, because you know what I mean. The woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. They'd heard about this. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus declared, now listen, this is great. I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Actually, if you look at in the original, it just says, I am. I am. I am. Who shall we say sent you? I am sent you. The beginning, the end, and everything in the middle. Just then the disciples returned. I'm going to close scripture down and just talk about this. So the disciples returned and they want to know what was going on. Well, Jesus had spoken to this Samaritan woman, and he had said to her and revealed to her only things that were in her own heart, and the people that were closest to her would have known. So she understood there was something going on. One of the first things was this. Jesus says, will you give me a drink? It's a question there. She had a choice, an opportunity to say yes or no. Then he revealed that there's a gift that you can receive. There's a gift of water of life that will well up into salvation. Then he said to her, go home and talk to your husband. And he revealed to her her past. And then as she went back to the village and she spoke to, she became an evangelist. She spoke to the village and said, I've met a man that's told me everything that I've ever done. And the villagers were curious about this man at the well. So they came to listen to what he had to say. And this is what I want to portray to us, is that there are times that we will have an encounter with God that we have already, all of us here, I know, have accepted the gift of God, Jesus Christ, the Saviour and Lord. Yes?
Yes.
So I don't need to evangelise you, do I? Yes. No. But when we preach the gospel, my friend Julian says this to me occasionally. He says, when you preach, you're preaching the word out. So because God is spirit, then we know his word is going out. And maybe some people will catch this online or on tape. But there's a gift that's been given to all. We've accepted it. Now, these individuals came from the village, and something I found really interesting was when they made this statement, they said, we've listened to everything she had to tell us. Now we've listened to you, and we don't believe because of her testimony. We believe because we've heard for ourselves. So people need to hear the truth of the gospel. I was sharing with a family member, and I won't mention them just in case they decide to click on. This person is over 30 and they still don't know the Christmas story. We had to sit and explain it to them. The story of Christ and his redeeming salvation for humanity. The gift of God, he didn't know. And we have a village here in Samaria where they understood the enmity between the Jew and the Gentile. And yet there was a Jewish prophet, as far as they were concerned, that had come by and sat at a well, asked for a drink, spoke to one of the women of disrepute, who then went back and shared the revelation that she had received, that here's a man that says that I can have living water that will well up inside to salvation. And they came and they heard the message, and they say, we now believe because we've heard ourselves. That's the prayer for us this year. Let's pray that people hear the message for themselves. Because your loved ones, your family members, my family members, they can't come to Christ because of my faith. They have to come because of their faith. They can't come and find salvation in all its fullness because of what I have. They can only find it because of what Jesus had for them. So this story of the woman at the well is a story of gift. It's a story of gift. Where God has given a gift. He so loved us that he's given us his one and only son. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. He will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So for us who will receive. For us who have received that gift. When Jesus said, it will well up inside us and be a spring leading to eternal life, he means that. So for us as Christians, the Lord will rescue us from every evil attack. Not just from one or two evil attacks, but from every evil attack. So when we talk about the gift that keeps on giving, well, it's Christ Jesus, isn't it? It's not just Christ for Christmas, it's for life, isn't it? It's for life and life in all its fullness. So I want to encourage us with a few moments that we share together today, this first Sunday after Christmas Day. And in Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So there are some people that would think, well, why on earth would he go into the enemy's camp? Why didn't he go somewhere where he'd be welcomed, where they would love him instantly? Why did he go into the enemy's camp? And why did he pick this woman? And why did he pick this woman who had a reputation that not many women wanted in that day? Why would he do that? Why would he go at noon, the hottest part of the day, and ask for a drink? Why would he do that? Because God came to seek and to save the lost. The sick needs a doctor is what he says, isn't it? It's not the righteous. So if we are righteous in our own righteousness, which we're not, but if we were, we wouldn't need Christ. But because we're not, we do. So Jesus comes to seek and to save the lost. And so there'll be times this next year where we'll have an opportunity to go into a neighbourhood which is undesirable. We'll have an opportunity to sit beside somebody that doesn't smell the same as we do. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. So it's a challenge for us. Are you prepared to give the gift that keeps on giving? Are you prepared to share the good news so that those individuals can say, I no longer believe because of what you say, but I've heard for myself? And that's what I want us to pray for this next coming year. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of white vinegar was there, so they soaked the sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And when I looked at this portion of scripture in conjunction to what I'm sharing about the woman at the well, Jesus said to the woman, will you give me a drink? Jesus said when he hung on the cross, I'm thirsty. And automatically they gave him a drink. It is finished. The price is paid. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit, but only to take it back again, didn't he? So for us, as we come to the end of one year and we go into the next year, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Because Jesus came into our lives and said, will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink? And we accepted a drink from him, didn't we? We accepted that life and life in all its fullness. We accepted that we needed to receive by faith this gift, this water that will well up into salvation. So as we look at Christmas and we think about the gifts that we've received and we think about the gifts that we've given, let's remember the gift that God has given us. There's times where we may feel downhearted. You're not alone. There's many Christians around the world that are feeling that they've been forgotten. There are many individuals that may feel bereft. There are many people that will feel, well, God, what can I do? Well, if Jesus himself was willing to go into the enemy's camp, sit at a well, talk to a woman, reveal truth to her, then how much more is he willing to come and sit beside you, a sinner, that can be saved by grace? So the message today is, we as Christians, we've received that gift. But the message today for those that haven't is, don't just take my word for it. Don't take the word of your praying parent. Don't just take the word of your praying neighbour. Don't just take the word of the minister at the church down the bottom of the road. Go and see for yourself. Invite Jesus into your heart yourself. Jesus is saying afresh, accept the water that I want to give you. And if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. So the message is for us, so that we can say thank you for the gift. And the message is for you who haven't received it, that can. So can we close in prayer? Can we agree that we've received life and life all its fullness. Put that right. Can we pray for those that may listen today online who haven't received, that they can if they choose to? As they say in their own minds, but me, you don't understand what I've done. Well, God does. Yeah, but you don't understand the life I've lived. Well, God does. See, Jesus knew everything about that woman, and yet he didn't abandon her or put her to one side and say, you are not worthy. He said through his word, it's the sick that need a doctor. It's a sinner that needs a saviour. So this message is for you if you're listening and you're willing to receive it. So for us, we'll pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace and your mercy in our lives. Father, we thank you that you came and sat with us at a point in our lives and offered us a drink, and we took it. We thank you, Lord, that that water, that spiritual water, has welled up into salvation. Lord, you've said to us that you are the bread of life and the water of life, and we receive it afresh today. We thank you for the gift of salvation. Lord, we can't earn it, we receive it. Faith alone, grace alone, through Christ alone. And we thank you, Father God, that you so loved us, that you gave up yourself to pay the price for our sin. For those that have not and never accepted Christ as that gift from God, I'm going to offer it to you today. Jesus comes and he sits beside the well of your life. And he says, will you give me a drink? And if you will come to me, I will give you water that will well up into eternal life. But you need to receive it. So I pray that you would ask, that you would receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.